Time now to turn our attention to the international newspapers. Leo McGuinn joins us for that. Leo, you're going to start in the UK, where a number of different newspapers are focusing on the Ukraine this Monday morning.
I'll start with the Times front page, Eve, reporting that British troops could be kept in Ukraine for years to come. They have more on their website this morning, telling us that Prime Minister Keir Starmer is willing to station thousands of soldiers in Ukraine in order to deter Russia from another invasion. The PM says he's prepared to make an open-ended commitment to deploy British troops for as long as it takes in order to keep the peace. About half a dozen countries, including the UK, France, Canada and Australia, discussing plans to send up to 30,000 troops to Ukraine. I'll stay in the UK and go to this rather striking Independent front page next. You can see the headline, "No ceasefire will work." This comes from an interview with a US medic on the front line in Ukraine. This is Rebecca Macharovsky, a volunteer from Colorado. They have this six-page spread in the newspaper this morning. She's leading a medical unit comprised of Ukrainians, Germans, a Georgian and a New Zealand nurse, part of Ukraine's 53rd Brigade. In the interview, Macharovsky says US President Donald Trump effectively turning his back on Ukraine was devastating, calling it traumatic, like a knife in the back. When asked about the proposed ceasefire, she's very clear. "I don't think that ceasefire could possibly be honoured," she says. Her team tend to agree. Rebecca said she'd love the chance to get the wounded guys out for them to have some rest and some respite. But based on history and based on Russia's proven behaviour over and over again, she simply can't fathom a world in which a ceasefire would actually be honoured.
OK, well, moving to Saudi Arabia, Leo, you've picked up on articles about a renewed crackdown on immoral acts there.
You can see this Financial Times headline reporting that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has established a new enforcement unit created in order to crack down on prostitution, begging and other so-called immoral acts. The Interior Ministry has announced, actually, that the arrest of 11 women for prostitution, the first time in over a decade that the Saudi officials have recognised the presence of the practice within the country. I want to stay in Saudi, but move to this rather harrowing New York Times article titled "Why Maids Keep Dying in Saudi Arabia." It focuses particularly on Kenyan women lured by company recruiters and actually encouraged by their own government. They're told if they spend just 2 years in Saudi Arabia as a housekeeper or a nanny, they can earn enough to build a house and a future. Compare that to the women who return, often ground down by beatings, unpaid wages, starvation and sexual assault. Others return in a coffin. This article has testimonies from several incredible women, including Faith Shamila Murunga, who says her boss groped, beat and raped her. There's also Mary Niambura, who says she was thrown from a balcony by her boss and she's ended up in a wheelchair. You can see her there in that wheelchair, whereas others simply just didn't survive. At least 274 Kenyan workers, mostly women, have died in Saudi Arabia over the past 5 years. Autopsy reports describe women with evidence of trauma, including burns and electric shocks, but all the deaths are put down as natural causes. In 2021, a Kenyan committee found deteriorating conditions in Saudi Arabia and recommended suspending worker transfers. But when William Ruto took power just a year later, the campaign to send workers abroad intensified once more. A New York Times investigation has found that in Kenya, Uganda and Saudi Arabia, powerful people have incentives to keep the flow of workers moving despite the widespread and proven abuse.
Horrific story, Leo. But we're going to turn the page to something very different now. We're going to Hollywood for the next story. The box office continuing to falter.
Well, the past weekend, actually the slowest of the year so far, and it's prompted Variety to ask the question, when will the box office rebound? Hollywood was looking at 2025 as the year to reset the movie theatre business after a tough five-year stretch since the pandemic. But it's not off to the strongest of starts. Original films like Novocaine and Mickey 17 failing to draw sizable crowds, as well as sequels such as Captain America and Paddington falling drastically short of their predecessors. This piece blames the saturation at the box office, with studios' resources spread too thin, they say. Not all films have failed, however, because over in China, one film has smashed records, as you can see in The Guardian this morning. Ninja 2 has become the world's highest grossing animation film of all time, grossing 2 billion euros. The film, inspired by Chinese mythology, focuses on a demon child. This article points out that this film is virtually unknown in the West, but has become a huge hit in China and proving cinema in not such a bad state overall. Turns out you just need to make a film about a demon child to make any money.
I have to say, I am curious about that demon child movie, Leo. Anyway, last but certainly not least, it is March 17th. Of course, it is St. Patrick's Day, but you've picked up on one city that really wants it to become a sober celebration.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, of course, and there is a reason I'm wearing this rather dashing green tie this morning.
And
the socks. I can't quite get my legs that high to show them, but you have to trust I'm wearing very nice green socks as well. But The Independent have this article this morning pointing out that Boston has long been the home of a boozy Paddy's Day, but young people don't drink as much anymore, so bar owners having to adapt. One poll reporting that adults under 35 much less likely to drink on social occasions than those in the early 2000s. And as people are becoming more and more conscious to the dangers of drinking, bar owners, as I say, adapting. One barman said that the trade in mocktails is booming, especially since the pandemic. Over in New York, one man has created a sober Paddy's Day. It's been going for 15 years now. According to the organiser, he came up with it as a chance to break the hurtful stereotype for Irish people. I'll finish by showing you the famous Chicago River dyed green once again, just like it is every year. I'll try and show you a video here just to show you the scale of it. You can see there 40 pounds of non-toxic dye pumped into the river. It looks pretty impressive, but it's the same colour as the Seine, and we don't put any non-toxic dye in that.
Yet so. In Ireland, we don't do anything to the river. Gurmila Mahagut, Liam O'Gwynn, and Bianca Tinela Fodrick.